Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, July 24th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're at page 95, the third paragraph. If he is sincerely interested, through one paragraph ending, the desire must come from within. And we're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Justine F., 12 Traditions, Joanne L. Readers of the text, Cheryl S., Jordan L., and Lorraine N. The reference number for Sunday, July 23rd, is 20,466. That's 20466. And for this morning, Monday, July 24th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,467, 20467. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Alex K., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. Thank you, everyone, for your service. Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OEA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Justine F. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, Justine, compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Justine F. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service, and good morning, everybody, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L., recovered, and I live in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name. to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and I appreciate doing service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 95, the third paragraph. If he is sincerely interested, through one paragraph ending, the desire must come from within. And we're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. I will now ask Cheryl S. to begin reading.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada, a recovered compulsive overeater. If he is sincerely interested and wants to see you again, ask him to read this book in the interval. After doing that, he must decide for himself whether he wants to go on. He should not be pushed or prodded by you, his wife, or his friends. If he is to find God, the desire must come from within. This is such a powerful paragraph. And as a sponsor, so for me, what I do is, you know, I put my name out as a sponsor, and then potential sponsees will give me a call. And I know that they're sincerely interested because they took the time to give me a call. And I don't ask them to read the whole book in the interval, but I do start them off with three pre-steps, one at a time. And it gives them an opportunity to get abstinent so that we can work the steps. And also to kind of get a feel for how I work as a sponsor. And I get an idea of, you know, what their desire is. And when I read this, I kind of think about a coach or a teacher. And, you know, as a coach or a teacher, I could have the most gifted athlete in the world or the most intelligent student in the world. And I have this thing that I can offer them to teach them, you know, like soccer or whatever that I am that I'm teaching, but it doesn't matter if they don't have the desire within to excel in what they're learning, either the sport or the subject matter. And, you know, that's where the rubber hits the road. And it's such a, at least I've found for me, it's a very precarious place to be, because I have recovered from a seeming hopeless state of mind and body. I know that this works. I know how it works. I know that I followed the directions that I was given by my sponsor, and I found God at the end of the road, and God gave me the power that I needed to stop eating compulsively. So I know in my heart of hearts that it works. And when I come across somebody who's suffering like I was suffering, I want nothing more in the world than to give them the solution and for them to get it. And sometimes I end up wanting it more than they want it. And it's frustrating, it's heartbreaking. But then I have to remember, it's not me. I'm not the magic. You know, the magic is within them, and the desire is within them, and the God of their understanding is within them. And they are the magic, their God and their desire. And that's where they find recovery. And I'm here, and you know, I just do what I was taught to do. I give out the program the way I was given it, and I pray for them. I make myself available, and some get it, and some don't. Speaking of time, it's either their time or it's not. But it's always God's time, and I have to remember that. Thank you for letting me be of service today.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S., for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Sylvia F.
Sylvia F. Press star 1 if you'd like to share.
Monica L.
Monica L.
With Felicia S. from New Jersey.
Felicia.
Rena in New Jersey.
Rena. And we'll go ahead and stop there. I have Wendy B., Sylvia F., Monica, Felicia S., and Rena. Wendy B., please start us off and let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And where it says, you know, he must decide for himself. He should not be pushed or prodded. And if he's to find God, the desire must come from within. And, you know, when I was early in Big Book recovery, I became aware of, you know, how much work I had to do to stay abstinent, you know, and stay in fit spiritual condition. You know, it took a lot of effort and time, you know, and I was willing to do it because I really wanted the results. You know, the desire was in me and motivated me. And initially, you know, I tried to motivate my husband, you know, but I came to realize, you know, that the desire really had to come from within him, you know, that external pressures, you know, and forces, you know, aren't enough to give you momentum, you know, when it starts getting hard. And, you know, when you have to say no to temptation, you know, there's no strength within to resist, you know, if it's just coming from, if you don't have that desire inside, you know, and the willingness to make the effort just isn't there. And, you know, the Big Book says frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. And, you know, my words just don't have the power to impact deep change in someone else. You know, they might, you know, superficially, you know, make a change, but it won't last. You know, all I can do is just work my program well, you know, and try to be a program of attraction to others, you know, and it's up to God to bring others to a place of willingness to want change, you know, and he does that by allowing the consequences of our choices, you know, to pile up to the point of, being so uncomfortable that we desire change. And, you know, and I can't do that for someone else. Only God can. And, you know, but I do need to get out of God's way, you know, and stop enabling so that the consequences impact the user. But like the previous said, sure, I am not the magic. I am not God that can do it for someone. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Sylvia F., please share with us, followed by Monica. And let us know where you're calling from. Sylvia, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Sylvia F., and I'm in Portland, Oregon. And so happy to be with all of you today. I ended up flying out 2 weeks ago to meet my husband on the East Coast, and I was there for about a week, and then a road trip home. And I had plenty of opportunity for the 2 weeks with my family and with driving and everything to be so reminded of who I am, which is I'm an addict. I'm a compulsive overeater and an addict. And I got to feel my feelings. But how this applies to this reading today is I was back east with my family, and my nephew is he's a drug addict of pharmaceuticals, and my brother is dealing with him. And I get to hear everyone around him trying to figure out how to solve his problem. And it is a problem. But I really got to experience and to remember that I had so many people my whole life, oh, you have just such a pretty face, if you would just lose weight, or if I could lock you in a room and just slide food under, I could solve this for you, and all those things that I was raised with. But I remember, which is what I can give to someone else, that it had that desperation had to come from within, and the commitment had to come in. I had to know that I was an addict, and I had to know I wanted to do something about it. It didn't matter what anybody else around me was going to say or do until I got that. And so when I was with my family and had plenty of triggers and plenty of opportunity to remember, I just felt so grateful that I know exactly who I am. I'm an addict. And that there is a solution. I didn't get to a meeting for 2 weeks because we were pretty much out in the woods, no internet, very poor cell service. I felt the difference of not having the fellowship. And I wish that I could solve this for my son, but I didn't have a chance to tell my brother. Until he thinks it's a problem, it's not a problem for him. He doesn't think it's a problem, or he thinks that he can solve it within a couple of days. He'll just get dry for a couple of days or whatever. So this passage had great meaning for me because I felt it. I felt that it wasn't just words on the page. It wasn't cognitive. It's like, and that the other thing I'll say quickly, probably my time is up, is as a sponsor, I used to take it so personally if someone couldn't get recovered. And now I just know that this is their work. I'm a guide, and I can share the book. I share my recovery, tell them what I did and what I do. And if they can't, won't, don't,
time.
Don't have to be scratched. And with that, perfect timing, I pass. I'm so glad to be here with all of you today.
Thank you so much, Sylvia S. from Oregon. Monica L., please share with us, followed by Felicia S.
Oh, good morning, and thank you so much for this wonderful meeting today. This is Monica L., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater, recently moved to Door County, Wisconsin. You know how we say you hear exactly what you need to hear in the morning at a meeting, and I have two sponsees that I'm honestly struggling with because they're not doing it the way I did it. You know, when I came in with the same, no pun intended, the same hunger and passion, you know, and rule following, I guess is so silly to say, but, you know, the guideposts that are there. So kind of dragging, one of them's dragging her feet and the steps, the other one is, you know, it's always but. And so but at the same time, I know we've got connections, and I know I matter to them and they matter to me. And so I'm learning to be a little more patient and kind of let them find their way. And I hate to talk about both of them at once, but it just so happens I have two. What I'm trying to say is I'm trying to learn the balance between being patient and continuing to nudge them in the right direction, or saying, you know what, I can't work with you anymore. But I hate to do that because they're helping me in the mornings. Like my mornings are grounded now in those two phone calls that I know will come. So it's a little bit tricky for me right now because I am a new sponsor. I hate to let anybody go that's come into my life, but at the same time, I can't give anybody what they're not. You know, maybe this isn't the bottom for somebody. And I really loved the shares today. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Monica L. from Wisconsin. Felicia S., please share with us, followed by Rena, and then I'm going to be opening up the line. If you happen to be just joining us, we are on page 95. We're talking about the third paragraph, if he is sincerely interested, and we're commenting on that one paragraph only that ends with the desire must come from within. So Felicia S., please share with us, followed by Rena, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Felicia. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from New Jersey. This sings to me and resonates really hard with me. It didn't matter how many heart attacks I had or how many health complications. It just didn't matter. Nobody could scare me into taking the steps on my eating disorder. Nobody could do this for me. And all the threats and all you need is to go get gastric bypass surgery and that'll solve it. And there would be a little like light for a millisecond going, yeah, that'll work. Like, that's not gonna work because if I don't change my spiritual malady, I'm never going to recover. Regardless of weight, shape, size, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to have every one of the bedevilments on page 52. I'm still going to be miserable. I'm still going to be a nightmare. And I am still going to cause havoc wherever I go. And the food will own me. You know, none of that's going to change. And I have to have a sincere, you know, they use the word sincere, they use the word honest. You know, I thought I was all of those things. I had been sober in another fellowship for, you know, almost 3 decades. Yet, I still lived in the food. And I was not fully free. And nobody can do this for me. And my sponsor can't want it for me more than I do. Because it's not going to help me. Working with me, she'll stay clean, but I won't benefit unless it's an inside job. Nobody has a magic stick. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Felicia S. from New Jersey. Rena, please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you, Rena in New Jersey. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I am happy to be in this program. Yesterday, as I was struggling with a desire for something that is not even on my typical cravings list, but it happens to be something that I had recently bought, and I'm like, all of a sudden it became my new shiny obsession. But in the moment, I was able to release it to God, ask God for help, and all of a sudden it occurred to me that I don't desire to harm myself. It's not simply an indulgence. It's not simply a craving. And I saw it as, if I go by that, I'm basically putting a down payment on future hospital bills because there's nothing in what I wanted to eat that is nutritious, that is building up my body. And I'm grateful that I'm now able to fit into clothes I haven't been able to fit into, you know, in 3 or 4 years, and I'm able to go shopping in my closet, basically. But the most important thing that I heard today, I haven't been on very long, only the last 15 minutes or so, but I heard the words not to be pushed and prodded. And that's actually something that I say to my sponsors in our program. I tell them, you know, I sponsor the Big Book way. I'm not going to prod or push you or put pressure on you. And I realize my sponsor is exactly like that. She's not pushing me or prodding me. She makes suggestions when I ask. It's a very gentle way of guiding me, and I'm very grateful for it. But most importantly, I'm grateful for God for creating a new desire in me to not harm myself and to instead look forward to getting healing, getting recovery, so that I can also help others in this fellowship. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you so much, Rena from New Jersey. And I'm now going to be opening up the line. We are on page 95. We're talking about that third paragraph down. If he is sincerely interested, through one paragraph ending, the desire must come from within. So although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Raquel P. from Utah.
Raquel Lee from Utah.
Diane Y.
Lee F. from New Mexico.
I heard Diane, and then I heard, and who is from New Mexico?
Lee F.
Okay, and Diane, what is your initial? Okay, I'll get that later. So I have Rachel P., Diane
A.,
Lee F., and Kim A.
Thanks.
Patty F.
Patty F.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, let's go ahead and stop there. I have Rachel P., Diane, Lee F., Kim A., Patty F., and Jordan L. Rachel P., please go ahead and get us started and let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Raquel B. from Utah, and I am happy to be here and to be sharing. I have been in program for over 20 years, but I get very anxious sharing now post-pandemic, and so I'm grateful for this opportunity, and I'm grateful for the reading this morning. Along with being a compulsive, recovering compulsive overeater, I'm a compulsive know-it-all. That's part of my disease, the insanity and unmanageability, thinking that I know what's best for everyone while things are not going well and I'm not making good choices in my own life. And I am very grateful for learning this different way of guiding and supporting and helping people based in the Big Book. And I found that it's not only true for my relationships in carrying the message of OA, but it's also a true principle that I've been using in all my affairs, or trying to use in all my affairs. I have to set aside everything I think I know is best for two of my three children are now adults, and I need to set aside what I think I know is best and not force their decisions. I need to do this in my work. I work in healthcare advisory and consulting, and trying to get people to do things that they might not be ready to do, that they don't think is best. That is something I need to practice every day, letting go of that and not forcing my way. And I came to realize several years ago that when I do try to force and prod and push, that I'm stepping on sacred territory. I'm stepping on other people's agency and freedom to choose. And I need to, at that point, go back to step one and look at my own life unmanageability and go to my higher power and focus on my recovery and sharing my experience, strength, and hope, and allowing people the freedom to make their own choices. So with that, I'll pass, and thank you all again for being here this morning.
Thank you so much, Raquel B. Diane, please share with us, followed by Lee F.
Good morning, everybody. This is Diane Y. from Texas. This one part here, the desire must come from within, is so important. When I first came to program, I had the desire to be thin, And unfortunately, the folks that I worked with, the whole focus was a food plan and sticking to a particular food plan that I was given. And I'm so grateful for these meetings because the desire from within for me now and for a while has been to have recovery. And what does that really mean? And what does the program really mean? And what are the steps to take day in and day out? It really came down to, you know, what really was my problem? What really was the issue? And until I realized I was powerless, I had no power to do anything to take care of any of my issues, not just food, all sorts of other issues. And so this is so key to me here, the desire for what? And I'm so grateful that I had people who could explain this program, the first 164 pages outlining this program. They explained it, we went over it, we talked about the key issues, and this is my desire to have the promises, to have the things that these steps promise when you work the program. Anyway, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Diane Y. from Texas. Lee F., please share with us, followed by Kim A.
This is Lee from New York. I'm a compulsive overeater. Oh my gosh, this reading kind of hit me between the eyes this morning because it's really where I'm at the moment. And no amount of prodding, you know, kind of helps. I've been in program, gosh, close to 30 years. So I'm in a weird spot right now. And I'm also a total contrarian, as I identify. It's like the minute someone tells me I should or whatever do, I just want to do the very most opposite thing. And I'm a total addict. So, yeah, it makes for a little bit of crazy making. But so I really relate to this paragraph. When I came into program, I had to be, you know, I get the gift of desperation. It wasn't. I remember I had a therapist suggest it, and she had a meeting list, which was pretty great at the time, that I carried around in my car for over a year before I was willing to come. And so, you know, I've been praying a lot for willingness. I feel like I'm kind of skating around the edges of program a little bit. I haven't left. I attend meetings almost daily. But I don't have a sponsor at the moment, and I know that's what I need, and so I've been praying for willingness to make a call. I have a little list, and I'm, you know, and I'm just kind of struggling with weight right now. I'm going through menopause, which is the most unfun thing ever, and I just, I'm struggling with willingness, and so reading that, you know, just reminds me, you know, I'm praying, I'm, you know, doing the footwork that I'm willing to do at the moment, and you know, and just, yeah, but no, but I, and I have a doctor's appointment coming up and I'm sure she might say something. And so I don't know. I'm really appreciative of all the shares this morning and hearing that particular paragraph and, you know, being in that spot, you know, someone gave me the tools and just, you know, and helped guide me at my willingness. And so I'm really appreciative of that. And with that, I will pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lee F. Kim A., please share with us, followed by Patty F.
Hey, good morning. This is Kim A. from New York City. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
Yes, we hear you just fine, Kim. Yes, we can hear you. You might need to press *1.
Sorry, I'm having all kinds of technical difficulties. Okay. So, you know, this entire chapter is written for one reason. It's to tell us, the recovered members, how to help other people. And just like every other chapter in this book, it's giving us specific directions based on the experience of the authors, right? And it's telling us over and over in all kinds of different ways – don't push this on people. You know, this was based on Bill's experiences trying to help people by, like, dragging them off bar stools and trying to, you know, in his excitement and meaning well, kind of shove this down people's throats because he was so excited that he found something that worked. And so we, you know, it's assumed that we're recovered once we get to this chapter because, you know, this is step 12. And it's just telling us over and over, like, listen, it's not for us to decide who this program is for. It's not for us to decide when somebody is ready for this program. If we step in and, you know, we're making this about us, we're making this about our need to help people, our need to save people, it's like we're trying to make ourselves somebody's higher power. And we're well-meaning, just like Bill was, right? And we're coming from a place of, oh my God, we know what it's like. We've been desperate. We've been, you know, stuck in the food and miserable and can't get out. We know what it's like. But if, I'll keep it in like the eye, if I'm stepping in trying to basically shove this down somebody's throat because I know it works, then it's like, not only am I saying I know better than that person's higher power, because that person's higher power is going to bring it to them when they're ready, but it's like, in a way, I'm trying to spare them from this, like, pain and desperation. And that pain and desperation is the only thing that will bring somebody to the point where they're ready to do the work required of this program. So if I'm sort of, like, depriving somebody of hitting that bottom, then I'm depriving them of finding that true readiness and willingness, if that makes sense. Because by the time many of us come here to any kind of big book study, we've probably been around the block an awful lot. And I personally was in OA for 18 years, chronically relapsing, unable to get it together, unable to really understand what it took to recover, focused on weight, focused on food, focused on avoiding, you know, certain foods and ingredients, all that kind of stuff. And that's not where the focus needs to be. We know once we've recovered that the focus is on the steps, that when I get to those causes and conditions, thanks, I'll wrap it up, of what has me thinking in such a flawed way, that's what will help my food. And so, you know, we need to just step in, ask God how we can be most helpful, and let God handle the rest. Kim A. from New York City. I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kim A. Patty F., please share with us, followed by Jordan L.
Hi, this is Patty F. from Massachusetts, a compulsive overeater. I think I finally found the right sponsor for me. I've had many, many sponsors, and I thought, you know, why should I even get a sponsor? Because I can't do this program. But, you know, I've only been abstinent a day or two, but I just feel so much clearer. Everything seems different. And, you know, I'm really grateful. And, you know, what my sponsor told me is just be honest with me. And I don't really have a problem being honest, you know, because why be dishonest? Because you're just hurting yourself. You're not going to get better. I don't have much else. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty F. from Massachusetts. Jordan L., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names. Just a quick reminder, we are on page 95. We're talking about the third paragraph. If he is sincerely interested, commenting on that one paragraph today. Go ahead, Jordan, please share with us.
Thanks, Dawn, for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. sincerely interested. I think when I first came to OA, I was sincerely interested in finding a way to lose weight, keep it off, and eat whatever I wanted to eat whenever I wanted to eat it. And that was where my sincere interest lied. And that's all good, you know? I am grateful for that experience today because relative to that, I understand what, like, a sincere interest to stop compulsively overeating, what that really means. And it took some more floundering around in the food to get that sincere interest or that sincere desire to stop compulsively overeating, you know? And I don't think that, I mean, I don't know. A lot of people talk about desperation, and I got to tell you, there were a lot of other times that I was a lot more desperate. And so I'm just not, like, desperation's great, you know, and we talk about it as a gift. And that's all well and good, but I got to tell you that when I decided for myself that I wanted to go on, and like this desire to find God coming from within, like that really came from watching others, from seeing something attractive in other recovered compulsive overeaters. And when I say seen, I heard it on this line, right? And that was enough to I got abstinent because it was really clear, especially from this meeting, that entire abstinence was the key. I got abstinent and I stayed abstinent for 3 months. And then I went to a conference and I saw people. And God damn, man, like there was something so attractive about the demonstration of recovered compulsive overeaters, seeing them in person, you know? So I'm going to another conference this weekend, and I'm really excited. Okay, thanks for letting me share, Dawn. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So is there one or two more people who would like to take a couple quick shares?
Amanda A.
I heard Amanda A, and there was another voice that just had a lot of background
R.
noise.
Kelly R.
I heard Kristen R. So the other voice, please come back tomorrow. So Amanda A, please share with us, followed by Kristen R. And if you'd both take about 2 minute shares, 2.5 minute shares, that'd be great. Go ahead, Amanda.
Good morning, everyone. This is Amanda A. from California. So grateful to be on this line and for this program. So what came up for me today is this powerlessness. And you know, I'm in this place right now where I have decided that my abstinence was not clean, and it was starting to slip, and I'm resetting my abstinent date and just getting honest, want to get honest with everyone on the line as well. And it's a very humbling experience. And this disease is so cunning, baffling, and powerful because it has tricked me for so long. And the one thing that I've known is I wasn't completely ready to give up my food, to give up my timing on it, and now I am. And you know, for today I'm resetting that clock, and so grateful to be here for all of you guys on this line, because I know it's possible with God's help. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Amanda A. from California. Kristen R., please share with us, and you have a full 3 minutes if you'd like.
Thank you. Can I be heard?
You sure can.
Thank you so much. My name is Kristen R. I live in Virginia, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I just need to get on the line this morning and be honest. Last night I had a binge, and I had so much caffeine in the binge that I was up till 1 o'clock in the morning trying to read recovery stories. And then I woke up this morning, dropped my kids off at camp, and went and had another binge. And then I purged too. And I don't think I've ever been this bad. I think this is probably the worst I've ever been. And next week I'm going to visit a friend who really loves food and alcohol, and I don't know how I'm going to manage it. I'm really fearful. I'm really afraid of getting in my disease so badly that I won't be able to get out. I've been relapsing for the last 5 years, but the thing that changes is, you know, instead of getting 3 or 4 months of abstinence, I'm getting shorter and shorter periods of abstinence. You know, yesterday I committed to someone that I wouldn't eat chocolate, and I ate chocolate last night. I can't even go one day with, you know, committing one thing. And I'm just very desperate. So if anyone has any experience, strength, and hope to share, I'm in the member directory. I would love to talk to you. Thanks for letting me share.
And where did you say you were calling from, Kristen R?
Virginia.
Virginia. Very good. Thank you. All right. Well, I do have time for another minute and a
half.
Hello? Yes.
Am I available to talk, or somebody else is up?
Yeah, if you haven't shared the last couple days, what is your name?
No, I haven't. Rosemary.
Okay, Rosemary. What's your initial?
My initial, RM.
Okay, and just the initial of your last name, first initial
M.
of your last name.
M.
Okay.
M like Mary. Yes, hi, everybody. I could talk now?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. The thing is, I just want to say, I met a friend, and I was in OA years ago. Then I would stop back and forth, relapsing. I would, like, pat myself on the back. At least I'm going to meetings, blah, blah, blah. And then I would bust out crying every 6 months, say, you know, my life is being destroyed by sweets, like by a, you know, a sweet. I said, and like, who are you BSing? But then I met a friend who I thought would never, never, like, she did a 180 and was really involved in OA. And I guess I was so impressed, I couldn't believe it. And it was during COVID, and I was thinner then, but then I started to gain weight during COVID. But I remember saying, oh my God, I can't believe she's in OA. So I was on phone meetings constantly, day and night, because I was impressed by, you know, that she was in OA. And I just listened. I didn't even talk, you know, and I was, then finally I got a sponsor in back in OA, and it did me good. And then I felt so much better. But the thing is, I just kept listening in the beginning, phone meetings, and that's how I did it. And I still like the phone meetings. And, that helped me. Right now, I'm not eating sweets, but I could get sloppy. So I have to do, like, time's up. But just by listening constantly, you know, there's meetings every hour probably on the phone. So I would say that would be a plus for anybody, like, relapsing or in trouble, and for myself included, you know, to hear the word. Otherwise, you know, I'll BS myself and say, oh, like, this isn't that bad, and it's only one little, you know, sweet creamer in my coffee, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is to attend meetings, be honest, share, and then get a sponsor. And I heard once, like, if you do 30 days, you know, you'll get a good habit. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rosemary M. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jordan L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past.
hear freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you'll surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.